First, I'm going to talk about collaboration and task force. And San Francisco does have a tradition of appointing citizens to help them solve problems. They'll either be a citizen advisory committee or a task force. They'll legislate it, create representative seats for stakeholders. Ours had 20 seats at the beginning, about half for community and half for public health professionals. And one of the early things that we accomplished was how to have a logo. So you can imagine 20 people trying to decide on what's most important and then arguing with our design firm about that. So the design firm only wanted the child in the logo. That was the heartstrings of asthma. That's where everybody's attention was focused. But there were a number of members who were like, no, we cannot ignore the fact that adults are also impacted by asthma. So we got the mother and child. And prevalence is greater in boys and women. The gender prevalence switches statistically. So we did a little bit of both. And then there's a few people that got worried about our butterflies, maybe started looking like breast cancer, not asthma. But those are lungs. So anyway, so that's our early history, learning how to get along and create products. This task force had a predecessor in the community. I don't know anybody familiar with San Francisco, but Bayview Hunters Point is probably one of our lowest income districts. It is the district that has the highest concentration of African Americans. It has its own class divide in that it's one of the highest home ownership districts, where African Americans who migrated here during World War II and became part of the shipbuilding industry for the war effort were able to eventually afford homes and have a middle-class life. And then there's also a tremendous amount of public housing that has housed very low-income people. And those worlds coexist. And it also, you'll see on my maps, has a great health disparity as it relates to asthma and other diseases. I have no disclosures. So in Bayview Hunters Point, the first thing that happened is there's an elementary school called George Washington Carver Jr. And the nurse and the counselor there and the administration there noticed, became aware that over half the children had inhalers in the front office. And that was very disturbing to them, that a community of kids living on a hill would have that much asthma following them to school every day. They started advocacy work in a Bayview Hunters Point task force on asthma and got people involved to help them. One of the groups that helped them was US EPA coming in to pilot their Tools for Schools program for indoor air quality. They found things like rodent droppings in the light fixtures. So that's pretty hard to imagine flying rodents, right? But there they were. And they discovered something that is to this day a case study on their website if you're ever looking at Tools for Schools. Basically, nobody had ever been taught to turn on the ventilation system. So nobody had ever flipped the switch. So there was no fresh air in that school, even though it was a fairly modern construction school. So when those things got resolved and improved, of course, you know, some of the conditions of asthma improved in that site. My staff went out there and taught open airways with kids. And eventually this Bayview Hunters Point Task Force declared an epidemic of asthma, lobbied to city supervisors, and said, this is a citywide problem. This is not just a Bayview problem. We feel you need to devote resources to it citywide. So it was legislated in 2001. The 20 seats were appointed. The task force is charged with making a strategic plan. So I'll go through some of those milestones later. But first, just to let you know that CDC is on record from May 2011 with a very extensive document showing that asthma is still increasing every year in the United States, and that too many people have asthma, and they're too great a cost. So some of the facts and figures that come out of this, I've put way too many on this slide, but the number continues to grow. The greatest rise in rates, and they were looking between 2001 and 2009, 50% increase in black children. So again, this is still a research issue. We know all these different risk factors that lead or can contribute to new onset asthma, and probably those are greater based on the social, economic, demographics of the population, and that implicates black children. Nationwide, it's 1 in 10 children that have asthma and 1 in 12 adults, but for non-Hispanic blacks, it's up to 17% of black children had asthma in 2009, the highest rate among all racial ethnic groups. San Francisco, we only have about 6% black population, and still, that group of people is overrepresented in our asthma and emergency room data. Some of the cost issues were $3,300 per person per year in medical expenses, missed school and work days. And those last two bullets were the more shocking, really, is 40% of uninsured people cannot afford their prescription medicines to control asthma, and 11% of insured people cannot afford their prescription medicines to control asthma. So while we've had 15 years of medicines that actually do allow people with asthma, like myself, to lead a pretty normal life that looks like everybody else's, it's not something that really is getting access to everybody. I talked to our county hospital pediatric director recently, and she had 6 hospital admits in 1 month for children only because their families were not affording the medicine. So I think it's real. And then basically we said that about half of the children who had asthma, over half of the children had asthma, and a third of the adults, they missed school or work. In 2008, children missed 4 days of school, adults missed 5 days of school on average. And then nobody's counting how many nights of sleep people missed, which is a big thing. Here's our hospitalization disparity in San Francisco. The island is Treasure Island, which was a naval base, and at this time only has very low income housing and very poor access if you don't have a car. There's like one bus that comes back and forth. Baby Hunters Point is the lower right corner, 94124, and north and south of Market are the other darkest areas, which are also very low income, some families, but mostly indigent adults in multi-unit housing or single residency hotels. So while this whole increase has been going on, the actual fad of funding asthma interventions is going down. So anybody who's worked in this field can tell you that we had galore grants 10 years ago, and at this time the only way for us to get grants to do any of this work is to co-bundle with a different type of morbidity, or to insert asthma into an issue of social determinants of health or built environment. So the asthma's on the increase. The research still has not identified a true prevention mechanism, but we are no longer actually fundable. So our task force took on adolescent obesity prevention as a grant objective. And the way we were able to combine this with asthma is we worked with one high school. We trained PE teachers about asthma management. They already were very fearful about asthma and very knowledgeable, and yet it was being used sort of as what I see in the research literature is that asthma is being used to avoid physical activity for kids, both from the kids themselves and from adults who are afraid of what asthma will what will happen. Those teachers had never been informed who had asthma in their care. They'd never been informed of what these two documents that are required by district policy called an asthma emergency care plan or a medication form. They'd never seen one in their life. In fact, the whole school had never seen one of those forms in their life. You know, it's 1,400 kids. The only record in that school that said somebody had asthma was the emergency card a parent files for disaster response, telling you who to contact, and on the back it tells you if there's some disease that the school should be aware of. So we helped them create a protocol where they would then proactively notify teachers who do physical activity which kids had asthma, and we would also proactively pull those kids once a year for asthma management education to a clinic run by the health department located at the school. And we would really emphasize everybody's knowledge about pre-treatment prior to physical activity, which is something that, again, never had been really taught to anybody. So this year is the trial year to see if it all works and sustains itself. If it does, we will probably apply for funding to replicate this in other schools. I've written one grant that was related to the sort of social trauma issues that impact people's ability to manage their asthma and also on a physical level exacerbate asthma, but we have not yet been awarded any money for that. We have multiple people who've done asthma education in clinics, and some of them have been AmeriCorps volunteers. And every time we work in a clinic, it's mostly serving adults, and whenever it's serving adults, they really want us to teach about COPD and smoking cessation. Asthma is a very small part of what the caseload is experiencing. So we have done that, and we've also expanded into promoting spirometry, which is a measure of lung function. On the right side, we've done a lot of projects that relate to health equity and built environment issues. We have a power plant settlement that's going to do retrofit of homes near freeways. We have, in the past, have funded, helped get funding for a transportation shuttle in Bayview Hunters Point so people can access their local health promoting and health care services. And I've helped win a climate change grant where the emphasis was on heat wave and air quality and asthma adverse outcomes. So our city's doing a heat wave. I've helped win a climate. So here's some of our milestones. We were legislated. We were told to improve the standard of care, to look at environmental risk factors, to consider disparities. Our job is to go to our Board of Supervisors and tell them what needs to be funded, what needs to have policy. So we eventually did learn to ask for their money, and for about 3 or 4 years, we had about $100,000 a year that we used to catalyze a lot of our projects. So the first 2 years was gathering like key informant, focus group, different types of information to create a strategic plan. It was a preview of what our later weakness is that we had 43 objectives. During the same year that was going to be issued, 3 children died of asthma. That hadn't happened in 15 years. So that was a highly motivating event for people to understand some of the factors that go into the public's lack of awareness of how serious asthma can be, because people are pretty aware that asthma exists, that everybody knows somebody who has asthma. But if you check, probably everybody knows somebody who died of asthma. We're sort of at that level now, where that's a widespread thing that we would like to not have that be in place anymore. One of those moms joined our task force, said, I really want to tell other parents that you can die from asthma because I didn't know that before my child, who was 4 years old, died. She also won a settlement against the school district because her child was in a child development site of the school district when his fatal attack occurred, and there was a lack of appropriate response at the site. And I wanted to show you this public service announcement, but it did not embed properly in the slideshow. But it's on our website, and we bought some airtime, and we basically were getting pro bono video production from Kaiser, and it was telling people that you can die, but you can also control this. We then emphasized a little bit of work with clinical. We formed a network of anybody interested in asthma care. A lot of them are nurses and health workers. We promoted a review course. We got people certified on a national exam. And then we continue to this day now for like 5 or 6 years to hold twice a year educational events that 40 to 50 people attend. So that there's obviously a need and a camaraderie that have been served by that. Then we've issued a couple of reports that both describe the problem and describe some of our interventions and what we've achieved, and then what we still feel is needed and what we'd like to recommend to the board. In this last year, we've transitioned to being a community coalition of the same name, same website, same everything, but we're not, after 10 years, you're pretty much done being a task force of the city. I've been involved from the health department, but other city agencies were also involved. We have a Department of Environment focused on sustainability. We've used our money to court the housing authority and the school district and to achieve certain objectives. Many different community groups have been involved, some of them lung health, some of them environmental justice, some of them local to Bayview Hunters Point, and it's been great to have people who really want to be engaged. Child care has been a focus. Health professionals, many different types of health professionals have been involved, so it hasn't been biased in one direction. And representatives of healthcare institutions and state-sponsored health insurance plans. That's the sort of the coalition interdisciplinary part that this workshop's focused on. We were doing everything at once, and everybody felt like they got applause regardless of which part of it they worked on. So it wasn't a competition. It was like, yes, we need all of these things to improve asthma. While we did get private foundation monies and monies from community benefits funds of hospitals, we also got money that we shook up from the city. So some of our civic support was, like I said, general fund every year that we could use for our projects and our public awareness costs. We helped advocate for the school district to have a part-time indoor air quality coordinator so they could do some of those tools for schools things. The shuttle I've mentioned, the power plant settlement I've mentioned, it's funding 7 different projects for 3 years for $1 million that are in the 2 districts that were most affected by the air emissions. And we have a great project that my co-worker here, Luz, presented on earlier this week that's bleach-free disinfection in childcare that was completely generated by the interest of childcare providers and facilitated by all the organizations that support and serve them, such as public health nurses and quality assessors, and three different city agencies that fund the subsidies, and now they're supporting us to implement that project. So it's like a little octopus with arms everywhere. We mostly did our work through three committees. They each prioritized about three different projects for advocacy. As I said, we didn't fight. Nobody said that I'm more important than you. We created as much synergy as we could between clinical and environmental themes. And we had the benefit of a fiscal agency for a nonprofit to be a fiscal agent, and also another nonprofit to be staffed as long as there was grant support. Our weakness was always doing more than humanly possible, basically, and wanting always to do more. Sometimes there's a little bit of accountability issues. Because we were housed within, like attached to a board of supervisors, we sort of relied on a top-down policy approach. I'll show you an illustration of that. And so we weren't as grassroots or community-driven as we might have been. We started working with bureaucracies and getting them to respond to us, advocating for a new position in the hospital, for the pediatric clinic, for example. Sometimes your bureaucratic agencies are unreliable. They don't follow through. They get their own problems. They say yes on a policy. They pass it, but they don't implement it. All of those great things that people have lived with for a long time. And of course, we relied on paid staff. We never could have participated in statewide coalition efforts. And as soon as the paid staff was no longer funded, our involvement in that was over with. So here's an example. We work with Housing Authority. First, we started grassroots on the left. All the tenant advocacy housing rights group took this flyer to their meetings and got people to learn how to call and make a work order complaint so they could get their mold fixed. And I did a walkthrough and got all these poster children photos. This is just like one housing complex, 25 boarded up units that people were living in with boarded up windows because that housing authority couldn't afford to replace the windows until, you know, a good number of them were broken. And yet people were still being told to open their windows. There was, look at that. Could you open that window? I don't think so. So, but people were really afraid to request services, and they felt they would be retaliated against. And they had their own sort of things they thought they would be punished about. At that time, this particular room had two holes in the wall, so therefore that mom didn't want to call because she might be charged to repair those two holes that her sons helped create. From now on, the policy is there are no charges for those things, but at that time it was really a problem. If you had roaches, you would be blamed and you would be charged for the pest extermination. So we really had to overcome those sort of things. And then on the policy is there are no charges for those things, but at that time it was really a problem. If you do help us educate tenants about the things that are in their control, because in general that is a contributing force, but from their point of view they want to blame it all on the tenant, so we're trying to give them something helpful about showering and cooking, but at the same time pressuring them to have more expertise about things that are not in the tenant's control. So we purchase infrared cameras, we train them on that so they could start identifying water infiltration pathways and correcting those conditions. So I think supporting them to gain capacity also gained friendships and partners for a long time. There's not as much turnover as you might expect, and when it came time to do integrated pest management, some of those same managers were in place. So they were like, you know, well, those are the people, they trust you. You've been there to support them with their very limited resources. So lessons learned, both in strategic planning and our commitments afterwards, it revealed that we have difficulty prioritizing just a few issues. I'm very lucky that my management and health department allowed me to use about 50% of my job to do these projects and to support others doing these projects. We had terrific access to the city's power structure and funding, and we could tell them which bills we wanted them to support and all that. But when it came time that the city no longer had excess revenue and in fact was having millions of dollars of deficit, the health department, I was administering that money within the health department's budget. They said, oh, well, we're going to save $100,000. We're going to cut off the asthma task force funding. So it's a very artificial thing. It was a gift through the department. They took it away to make it look like they were saving money. So if everybody in direct services is losing their money, we were not able to go up and say, but we need our money back. It was just a very untenable situation. So since that time, we have not been funded through the city. It's been about, again, 3 or 4 years. The other problem is that when you are a public agency here, there's quite a few laws that are required for public notice, minutes, websites, things that keep the public having direct access to how to be involved. So when you are a public agency here, there's quite a few laws that are required for public notice, committee of the board, and ask to be appointed for those vacancies. So we had a lot of resume builders who used our task force, who went and got appointed but never showed up for a meeting ever again. And it's hard to run a public process when that's one of your outcomes. So now that we're a community coalition, anybody can be a member anytime, but I don't need to go through that process of pretending that they're appointed. And I do public notice still via our website, which you'll see. We transitioned to community coalition. We have a sustainability structure. We convene 2 open to the public general meetings a year and 2 asthma network events a year. Gloria here has convened those and worked very hard on those. It's very democratic. It's all levels of healthcare providers and patient advocates. We continue to have our website for notices and resources. We have been producing videos almost every year. One set of videos was called Agents of Change, and the whole purpose of it was to promote our partners and to make them feel special and that we appreciated their willingness to work with us. We had 1 on the school district's asthma management work, 1 on the school district's facilities work, 1 on the public housing facilities work, 2 on clinical issues. And it was a way to promote and advertise their efforts at improving asthma conditions. More recently, we've given orientation in 6 or 7 languages for the pediatric asthma clinic at our general hospital, and also on a patient how to do spirometry video. And there's a partner in University of Washington teaching international course webinar that's using that video about in 6 or 7 languages how to instruct people to do a good spirometry test. A lot of the members of the original task force have taken on leadership of different projects, and that's allowed those to be sustained. And we're still applying for grants, and we're still signing on to advocacy letters. So I feel that, you know, it's a little bit of a slower pace, but it's still the same task force. I've included my contact information as well as our website, sfgov.org/asthma. And our YouTube channel is linked on that website, but if you wanted to look it up, it's also here. Thank you. Oh yeah, it's an issue, but to the extent that anybody wants to be involved in carrying the ball, I'm just there to support them. And sometimes I would loan out my own staff members to support, like Department of Environment was doing the Integrated Pest Management Project. So, you know, so we're partnering. But community members always had less capacity, and community, you know, true grassroots or nonprofits, they really did not have the same capacity to produce events. I'd say the exception would be our lung association became Breathe California, and they've been producing the World Asthma Day events for us. So that's a good thing. They've also been producing podcasts that they, you know, highlighted the child care project this year. So we'll work with them. We'll do the different languages of press releases for them. But they put together the video. They've got the podcast, and it's on their website as well as ours. And just try to pass things back and forth. And but with many other groups, it's very hard to develop their capacity. That's a whole different project. Yeah, so I think there is a burnout. Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know if we really have a private, not-for-private. all of our hospitals have some degree of nonprofit status, I think. So we had two different community benefits fundings. One was California Pacific Medical Center through Sutter Health, and we were funded to do pediatric hospitalization study. We did focus groups for the providers, and we did mail-in survey for the patients whose children had been hospitalized, because we wanted to look at perceptions about what led to pediatric asthma hospitalization. Then we repeated it with our own money for a public hospital population. Then Kaiser's given us 5 grants, all to build standard of care issues in clinical settings. The last one was the high school project I mentioned. Yeah, those are the two where we worked in the healthcare industry. We're still considering whether or not we should go for other type of clinical foundations funded through private healthcare. But that's the least. Oh, I mean, sometimes I have a grant as the health department that's slightly different than as the task force. So we've had first 5 funding. We've done a lot of asthma case management, home visiting type activities, as well as clinical quality improvement activities. Right, and so the thing is that two of the health plans that do the Medi-Cal, the Healthy Kids, the Healthy Children plans, and the Healthy San Francisco Adult plans, they're participants of our task force. And so Gloria's like sort of, we're twins. We just work endlessly on these asthma task force projects, and she's from Anthem Blue Cross. And then SF Health Plan has also been involved, particularly with the transportation project. They help do some of the promotional materials to advertise the services of the shuttle. Yeah. I mean, as much as your goals overlap, yes, you can co-sponsor events or work on resources together, work on media development together.
Thank you.
Thank you.